The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! Shoot, score! A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
We'll make mistakes, just like every team will this time of year, and let's see if we can respond from those mistakes in a positive fashion. And again, there's going to be things that we're a little bit out of position here and there, but we got to stick together. We got to play with some energy. We got to compete throughout the game, and you know, things are going to happen throughout the game. You know, whether it's a bad call, a bad bounce, we got to be mentally tough to keep pushing forward.
All right, and we are back, everyone. How are we all doing? So happy to be back with you on Morning Tide as a new season of Sharks hockey is upon us, and all I can say is I have been desperate for a new narrative, a new story, a new arc, a new everything for the San Jose Sharks since last year ended on April 18th of 2024, and that was a while ago. That was, you know, almost 6 months ago. We have been desperate for new storylines for the Sharks, for new results, for new legends, all sorts of newness, because the last 2 years have been pretty painful in terms of the teams that were on the ice. They had 41 wins combined. Where I come from, the old school of Sharks hockey, that is not the norm. And we are used to a lot more winning. We are used to a lot less pain, and we are not used to that. And I hope we never get used to that, because it was tough. And I'm going to be the first person to admit that, you know, I understand if you didn't watch all the games, if you turned games off once they got down, you know, 5-1, something like that, and just said, you know what, I'm out. Totally understandable. But the voice you heard bringing us back in is the new head coach of the San Jose Sharks, Ryan Warsofsky. And when that decision was made, I had many reactions to it. And I thought I'd start with him because he is the man who is tasked with leading this team to its next phase and beyond. It's one thing to be the guy who comes into a complete team and you're asked to take them from, you know, the Western Conference final to a Stanley Cup champion. We can talk about, you know, what happened with Bruce Cassidy in Las Vegas, or, you know, any number of other times where a guy like Todd McClellan was brought into San Jose and try and get them over the line, or, you know, Pete DeBoer, another instance of the same idea where you're trying to get them across the line with a complete team. This is not a complete team. This is the San Jose Sharks as they are on the build, as they are trying to make themselves a better team for the future. Ryan Warsofsky is asked with developing young talent, is asked with asking older established veterans to buy into what is being done out there on the ice. It's about taking these next steps for everyone, and hopefully sooner rather than later that does yield the results and the next steps that we are all desiring of. But there are no guarantees, right? Like, if there was some obvious plan to bring yourself from a teardown to a rebuild to a Stanley Cup champion, every team would do it. And we can point, and I do point quite often, to what has gone on with Detroit and Anaheim, is showing you that even though you can take what appear to be the right steps along the way, it is not easy to get back into contention as quickly as you would like to, or that it is some obvious linear path to success. I can look at when the Sharks last made the postseason, and that was in 2019. That's a while ago, guys. That's over half a decade when we get to the postseason in this year's playoffs. That's, again, 6 years it will have been since the Sharks were in the postseason. We can talk about, you know, Detroit and Anaheim and the time that they have missed, but it's not easy to get back. And the Sharks, even though maybe there was some delay about the teardown and the rebuild and where they would be, you get to this point eventually. We are going to be 6 years when we get into the spring since their last postseason appearance. And I am not betting heavily that the Sharks will be in the postseason this year. I do think there is an opportunity. I do think there is a chance for them to get into the postseason, just as I think that is every year. But I don't think that is the ultimate goal this year in terms of being realistic. In a perfect world, yeah, I would love for the Sharks to get back into the postseason and be in that mix and have a first-round loss and excite the fan base and surprise people and, you know, go with the old callback to the A's at the turn of the century of they're young, but they can play. I would love it. It's just not where I am ultimately focused right now. I am focused on the Sharks being better than they were last year. And by way of 19 wins, it doesn't feel like that is too high of a bar to clear. And I'm not trying to make light of last year or be somebody who's being glib or something to that effect, but let's just be honest. 19 wins is a low bar to clear. Everyone that was on that team last year wants to improve upon it. And I've talked to the guys all throughout training camp, and I can tell you that all to a man, they agree that the vibe this year is much, much better, that the last couple of years were very, very difficult to deal with, and everybody is eager to look past that and move beyond what was a tough time in their own personal history and the history of the San Jose Sharks. But it's not just about moving on. It's not just the pages turning on the calendar. It is the team being that much better out there on the ice. It is them not letting these small moments, you know, snowball into something bigger and not letting a 2-game lose streak turn into 5, turn into 10, right? Like, you can't let a 2-goal deficit turn into a 10-1 loss. You can't let a 10-1 loss turn into another 10-goal game the next night. Like, that's just not what the Sharks are all about. And I think that is first and foremost when I talk about San Jose, what Ryan Warsowski is tasked with fixing. And it's not even so much that he's going to go in there and get under the chassis and start cranking away and it's his job to quote unquote fix things. I think a lot of the fixing has been done by way of the talent that is not here in San Jose, or is now here, I should say, in San Jose. You look at newcomers, and I'll start with the obvious, Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, Ty Dellandrea, newcomer relatively speaking, Barclay Goodrow, Carl Grundstrom, Daniil Gushin, a relative newcomer, Klim Kostin, we saw him at the end of last year, but he's a better player and in better shape than he was a year ago, Tyler Toffoli, Alex Wenberg, Cody Ceci, Jake Walman, Vitek Vanacek. These are all players that will allow the quote-unquote fixing to happen with much more expedience. This is going to be a process by which talent has been added to the roster, and that will do very much of the fixing. The Sharks are in a very different place than they were a year ago in terms of their cap space, in terms of their overall situation, in terms of their growth. They have landed the number one overall pick in Macklin Celebrini, which is hopefully going to be a franchise-altering pick. Similar story with Will Smith. Bringing in players like Tyler Toffoli and Barclay Goodrow, or Goodrow back to the fold, will allow them to have established veterans as well as a Matt Benning, Luke Cunningham, and Nico Sturm. And I can go down the list. I'm not leaving or adding anyone just for the sake of adding to a list. I'm just saying those are the type of players that will allow you to have more of a veteran leadership core. And then you look at, you know, the newcomers like Alex Wenberg, Ty Dellandrea, Carl Grundstrom, Cody Ceci. These are more established, more talented veterans than what the Sharks had a year ago. And that's what you're hoping to add into the mix and allow them to take greater steps towards the future. And I can't say that all these guys will be here when the Sharks are back in the postseason. I can't say that they are all going to be a big part of the future, but the here and now, as they are being asked to come into a situation with a lot of young players and take those next steps, for lack of a better term. They are being asked to be established pros, established veterans, and play the right way, not let the game get away from you, not let road trips and weeks and a month get away from you collectively as a team. And I'm not pointing fingers at last year's team. I could, you know, talk to you until I was blue in the face about how without talent that team a year ago was, but that is ultimately something that I am going to be pointing to and saying, yeah, it's talent. That's a big part of fixing things for the San Jose Sharks. And again, I don't hold that against anyone that was here previously because they knew what they were getting into, whether they were a free agent, whether they were an acquisition, whether they were claimed off waivers, whatever it was, they had a pretty clear idea of what they were getting into. And then you also had the aspect that there were guys up maybe a little bit ahead of schedule. It got time that they weren't necessarily quote unquote ready for, or just, you know, were up because of an injury and, you know, they should have been at the American Hockey League level. That's a big part of it as well. Now, it's a good thing you maximized last year just by getting some of those younger players experience that will allow them to turn into bigger and better players for the future. But it doesn't mean that in the here and now of the 23-24 season that it was going to yield the best results. You combine that with the lack of Logan Couture due to the injury of which he is still dealing with, and then the trade of a Tomas Hertl after seasons in which you had traded a Brent Burns, a Timo Meier, and Erik Karlsson. You go down the list of all the talent that was going away from San Jose while they were not replacing that talent. That was the teardown. That was the fixing of cap space. That was the setting the stage for the next era of the franchise. But we come back to Warzo, and he is the one that is being asked to make it all collectively work together, he and his staff. It's no easy task, but it is something that immediately is going to be on his plate. He needs them to not start out the season with a double-digit losing streak or a five-game losing streak 2 years ago. You know, it's been a while since the Sharks started off the season winning, and that was a long, long time ago. I believe it was the 21-22 season. The Sharks started out with four straight wins, and that's the longest winning streak they've had since that point. They've had a couple of three-gamers. I don't think they've had a four-game win streak since the start of the 21-22 season. Now, beyond Ryan Warsowski, the next two biggest newcomers in terms of impact for the future of the franchise, and maybe even bigger, not that I want to take down the level of importance that Ryan Warsowski has, but you know, these are the guys who are being asked to be the stewards of the play on the ice for the next generation. That is Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. Obviously, the hype around these guys is at a very high level, and that is for a very good reason. Macklin, a number one overall pick. Will Smith, a number four overall pick. When we talk about top five first round overall picks, we are talking about players that are expected to change the direction of play on the ice. They're being asked to be game breakers, to be guys that change the direction of games. If you're down 1-0, you're expecting that those guys will go and be playmakers or score it themselves to turn that into a 2-1 game, or turn a 2-2 game into a 3-2, into a 4-2 game. That is the type of talent that you're asking those top five overall type players to be, and I think they both have the ability to be game breakers, to change things for San Jose, and that is ultimately what you need to build around. And yes, we can talk more about some of the other newcomers we'll see in the future, the Sam Dickinsons, the Quentin Musties, the Yaroslav Askarovs, but they are not yet here with the team, and they are hopefully part of these foundational pieces like Macklin and Will that we will talk about in the future of the Sharks. But right now, those two guys, your top round picks from the last 2 years from all the losing, they're here. And we also saw how scared everyone got the other night when Macklin Celebrini crashed into the wall and his skate caught a little rut in the ice. You know, that's part of the fear. You know, you have to put those guys out there. You've got to get them through those small injuries. You got to get them through those moments that turn them into pros. And that is a moment that will turn them into a pro, having a scary moment, having a difficult moment. No, it does not mean that we all love seeing guys getting hurt or that we want them to go through it, but it's part of the process of becoming a pro. And, you know, Will Smith, there was a great play in the preseason where he looked off a defender, created space for himself, and then sent it high over the bar. In the real games, in the real moments, he's got to work on that and make sure that that shot is on frame to at least force the goalie into a situation to make a save. They're not there yet. I'm not expecting them to be perfect as of yet, but I am expecting them to excite fans. I am expecting people to look at them and say, yeah, this Sharks team is where the Giants maybe were in 2008 or where the Warriors were in 2011 or 12, where you're looking at the future and excited for that as opposed to just staring at loss after loss after loss and not having a lot to be excited with. I think that from that point, you look at the established veterans that you've brought in like Tyler Toffoli and Barclay Goodrow, Stanley Cup winners, joining guys in the room like Nico Sturm, joining guys in the room like Jan Ruda, who know what it takes to win in this league. And I think that you have those guys that will set the example, that will show the rest of the Sharks what it takes to win in this league, to win night in, night out, to get through those tough moments, to fight your way back into games. That is what they're being asked to do, in addition to being high caliber players. Show guys, the young guys in particular, what it takes to win in this league, and also go out there and win in this league. It's not just about showing, it's about doing. And then you look at more of the additional players, and I don't use that lightly. I'm just saying these guys are being brought in to bolster the roster. Wennberg, Dellandrea, Grundstrom, CeCe, better, higher quality players than what was here previously. And again, I'm not trying to, speak ill of anyone that was here before. It's just you look at these players And that's, you know, eight players that I've just described that were not part of the mix a year ago. And you also look at Vitek Vanacek, but Macklin, Will, Toffoli, Goodrow, Wenberg, Delandria, Grundstrom, CeCe. That's a whole lot of addition to this squad in terms of making them better night in, night out. And they need to be better night in, night out than they were last year, because it was tough last year. There were moments where I think everybody, you know, had difficulty going through the day-to-day, the, you know, overall process of getting through that season. You don't want to be in those double-digit losing streaks, or fearing like a 6 or 7 losing streak could turn into a double-digit losing streak, or that a 2-0 deficit could turn into a 5-0 loss. Those are the things that you want to get out of your system. Could they happen this year? A 5-0 loss? Of course. Any team can get beat bad on any night in the NHL. You'd rather lose 5-1 or 5-0 or 6-1 than giving up 10 goals, especially on back-to-back nights. And anyone can lose 5-6 games in a row. But can you put an end to that streak? Can you stop it? That's what's being tasked of this San Jose team, of Ryan Warsofsky, of Macklin and Will, of Tyler Toffoli and Barclay Goodrow. That's the big task right now. Make it better. Make it more competitive. Make it more consistent. To go over all of these topics, I had a chance yesterday at Sharks Ice to talk with Nico Sturm about what he's been through and what's next for San Jose. Joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network, it is the one and only Nico Sturm. What's going on, man? How are you doing?
Not too much. Just wrapped up the last skate before the opener tomorrow, and everybody's excited and ready to go.
Yeah, how excited are you? Because you're a veteran, you're a Stanley Cup champion, you've been through this before, but do you still get the butterflies and the excitement for the opening of the season?
Yeah, I think it's been a couple months without, you know, obviously competitive hockey, excluding obviously the preseason games that we've had. And, you know, there's a lot of expectations to start a season. Every team is sitting at 0 points right now. Mm-hmm. You know, all 32 teams have the same chance right now. And so everybody has always high hopes. Nobody starts the season thinking, oh, I hope we're going to be, you know, 5 points better than last year, or maybe we'll be a bubble team. No, everybody wants to be like in the playoffs. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to win the Stanley Cup. That's high expectations. And only 16 teams make playoffs, and only one team wins the Stanley Cup. So with high expectations, obviously comes that anticipation and the nerves a little bit as well. And that's good. That means that you care. That means you care. Yeah.
Heading into this year, at the beginning of training camp, I noticed you looked a little bit sized up this year. Obviously, you're still in very good shape, but you look like you added a little size. Was that an off-season plan?
The biggest thing this season that I did, off-season that I did, was to become a more mobile athlete. I had some injuries last year with my back. I've always had back problems over my career. It's just the way my spine is formed. It gives me some troubles. And the longer the season goes, the higher the intensity, the more games you play, the more load, you know, is kind of on my back. And yeah. I've tried to really stabilize my core, my back, and I'm doing a lot of prepping, a lot of mobility drills, and trying to take some load off my back as well. And another thing I focused on is when it comes to really skating, when I get exhausted on the ice, I tend to bend over quite a bit. One of the things that I focused on with my skating coach this summer was to sit a little bit more down into my knees and use my glutes and my hamstrings a little mm-hmm. bit more, instead of that way I can take a little bit of load off my back. And over the course of the season, hoping that I can ease up on my back a little bit and not have as many problems as I had the last couple of years.
Yeah, use the posterior chain. Yeah, that's what it's there for.
That's right.
I noticed immediately in the first couple of days of camp, Ryan Warsofsky was working you guys really hard. Yeah. And we know you're a conditioning freak, and you were pretty sweaty getting off the ice. Has this been a hard training camp?
Yeah, I said it was for sure the hardest training camp that I've done in my NHL career. And everybody does it a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Everybody puts the emphasis on a couple of different things, and I also probably depends a lot on the composition of your team, how many veteran guys you have. Right. You know, do you have 16, 17 guys that already had 6, 7 training camps under their belt, which we do not. We have a lot of young kids, mm-hmm. a lot of, guys that are in their first year, second year, that need to be integrated socially. But when it comes to the hockey, they have to learn the NHL game, which is different than the junior game and the college game. And the biggest thing is, skating.
Right.
I think that's the emphasis that Warsaw has put on this training camp. We call it "Do not take a breath on the ice." It's to always move your feet until, you know, you're on the right side of the puck. And it's hard to do that over the course of seven months, 82 game season, every practice, every day. It's easy to do it once or twice or in training camp, you know, when you still feel fresh, when you're hot off the summer and everybody's excited. Much harder to do it in January and February.
Right.
And those are the habits that Moore's trying to, you know, pound home here in the training camp.
Now, you were brought in two seasons ago in the off season. Obviously, your experience, your commitment to hard work, all those big factors in why you were here. But the last 2 years have not been easy. Now, you've always been a bastion of positivity. You've always been very, you know, open to talking with all of us in the media and everything. But the vibe feels different this training camp, right? Like, it feels like the team is in a different, better place.
Yeah. It's there's only so much losing that a person and a team and an organization can take, and
right.
At some point you have to take a corner. I was excited for not only you know, us as a team, but the fans, the organization, to have something to be excited about again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was it looked very bleak the last 2 years, I'm not gonna lie, and that's why it's so important that we have guys that instill the right culture, because guys like Mac and Smitty and Goosh, Zets, those guys are kind of, you know, they're going to carry the load here, and they're going to be what this franchise is all about, like long after I'm gone, when my career is over, right? Hopefully Mac will...
We're gonna keep you around.
Yeah, but hopefully Mac will be a guy that, you know, fans will see here for the next 14, 15 years or whatever. So, but they got to come into an environment where they don't learn how to lose, where mm-hmm. they learn how to win. And that's the biggest thing. You can have the, you know, the first overall pick 3 years in a row, but if they come into an environment and all they see is losing and bad habits and people going through the motions and just collecting paychecks, that's not what you want them to learn, because they're not going to learn how to win, and they're not going to be good just because they have played 7 years in the NHL. But they played 7 years in the NHL on a team with losing habits.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to make them champions. That's not going to make San Jose Sharks Stanley Cup team. And so that's what we're here for. That's what we're trying to do.
Do you feel that same vibe that we know you have the pedigree of background of being a Stanley Cup champion? When you talk to Barclay Goodrow, I'm sure you knew him a little bit before, or Tyler Toffoli. Do you get more of that sense that, okay, these guys, they've been in very high competitive winning situations. They know the same way that you know it, or Jan Rutta knows it. And even, and not to discredit Logan Couture and Mark Edward Vlasic, they just happen to be injured right now.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's tough. It's that tough job in the summer for management to strike the right balance between, you know, young, energetic talent and experienced guys that have played in this league for 5 or 10 years, mm-hmm. Whatever it may be. Because there's gonna be tough stretches in
right.
the year for every team. The best teams in the year. I mean, you look at Edmonton last year. You know, they as dominating as a run as they had down the probably second half of the year. They've had a tough stretch to
yeah.
start the year, and the best teams all of a sudden go through 5-6 game skids. And we have to learn how to not let these motions take over and spiral our season out of control, how to stop losing streaks at 2-3 losses, and to reset every single day and come
yeah.
back here to work, and not it shouldn't feel like you're on a roller coaster ride the whole season. It just feel like you want to be in control, and we have to get that feeling back that we're in control of our own fate.
I remember somebody said last year, because you had spoken out 2 years ago after the team lost their first five before you won your next game, and then last year people said, oh, you know, Nico spoke out again about the team's performance, and I always thought to myself, it's good that Nico speaks out on this. However, I'm sure he wished he wasn't having to speak out on this. You'd rather have things pointed in the right direction. Like, it's great that that's in your arsenal,
yeah.
but I think you'd rather talk about the good than the bad.
Yeah, 100%. It's we've talked about this as a team, this feeling of, oh no, here we go again. When things don't seem to go our way, and there will be situations in the game where we take maybe one or two bad penalties in a row, we give up a goal, bad call from the ref, bad bounce of the stanchion, you name it. We're in a bad situation. How do we get out of that situation in the game? And then also, more on the broader perspective, is how do we get out of these skids where we all of a sudden have a game or two games where things completely go off the rail, where that just doesn't go our way. We get terrible bounces. It happens. You know, all of a sudden, two games in a row, puck goes off the skate, puck goes off the stanchion. It's just bad luck. It happens of an 82-game season. And how do we find these anchor points in our games where we feel like we can control the game again?
Yeah.
And we're in control of our own fate, of our own season.
Maybe the most important question before I let you go, have you added more to your home flight simulator?
No, it's because it usually stays here in the summer, and I'm not here in the summer, so it's kind of in the same state as it is.
So now you're going to build on it during the season?
Yeah, we have to,
Nice. Well, Nico, I appreciate your time, man. I'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Great stuff as always with Nico there, going over just everything they've been through and, you know, where they want to be. And, you know, the answer that really stuck with me was this one.
A lot of expectations to start a season. Every team is sitting at 0 points right now. You know, all 32 teams have the same chance right now. And so everybody has always high hopes. Nobody starts the season thinking, oh, I hope we're going to be, you know, 5 points better than last year, or maybe we'll be a bubble team. No, everybody wants to be like in the playoffs. Everybody wants to win the Stanley Cup. That's high expectations. And only 16 teams make playoffs, and only one team wins the Stanley Cup. So with high expectations, obviously comes that anticipation and the nerves a little bit as well. And that's good. That means that you care. That means you care. Yeah.
And I think that's probably the toughest part of the last couple of years for San Jose, because there is no indifference to losing. I guarantee that Logan Couture and Mark Edward Vlasic and Nico Sturm and Jan Ruda and Mackenzie Blackwood and William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund and all the faces that have been with this team for the last couple of years, they have hated it. And they have done a really good job of keeping a good face for the public audience and, you know, giving good interviews and meeting with the media and going out there with a positive face every single night. And I don't doubt that positivity. I think every single game they walked into and said, we're going to play well tonight. We're going to be that much better. We're going to go out there and try and win this game. And sometimes they did win. But sometimes, no matter what their best efforts were, the collective ability of the team was simply not good enough. It didn't matter how hard they played. It wasn't going to yield a win when all was said and done. And I think that's, again, the hardest part is that people wondered. People doubted them. People looked at these outcomes and said, what's going on in San Jose? And I think that as an athlete wears on you, because there's just so much to deal with and try and say, listen, we are trying. We're not indifferent. We do care. I know the results don't show it. I hope I get a chance to show you that you're wrong about what you think about this team. And this is their opportunity. And I know that he said that he wants to be in the playoffs, and that's not my level of quote unquote expectation, but it's not that I don't want it either. I'm just trying not to set my expectations too high. I don't want there to be disappointment. I would love it if Macklin Celebrini was immediately a star in the NHL. I would love it if Will Smith was also immediately a star in the NHL. If Tyler Toffoli was, you know, just everything that he's looked like at the peak of his career. That would be great. But I don't have that expectation. I simply expect them to be collectively better than they were a year ago, to win many more than 19 games. And even if you, you know, get half of that, you're talking about 9.5 more wins than what they had a year ago. Yeah, that's a much, much better team. And we'd only be talking about a team that would be, you know, 28 and a half wins at that point. You'd like to be north of 30, right? Like, just to be more in that level of quote unquote respectability, where people aren't saying, oh, we can take the night off because it's the Sharks. Because I think that mentality for other teams did creep in. And when you know that as a player, that's a lot to deal with. You don't want to be the team that guys feel that they're going to get right against. And the Sharks, I hope, have had enough of that taste to where they want to throw it back at the rest of the NHL. And I think there was a good sign in that final preseason game in which they had a wild comeback victory. To me and to Nico's point, that shows that they care. That's a preseason game, quote unquote meaningless. But they went and they fought their tail off and they got their way back into the game and had a nice comeback victory. That, while I don't truly believe in momentum from preseason to regular season, it is the type of game, it is the type of experience, it is the type of desire that you love to see out there on the ice. And I think that we're all that much more excited for over the course of this season. So tonight, it's time for a new chapter in San Jose Sharks history. Join us at 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 go time, right here on the Sharks Audio Network for live coverage of tonight's season opener hosting the St. Louis Blues. And all afternoon, you'll be able to listen to Morning Skate, Teal Report, and the build-up as we get you ready for the start of today's game. It's here, folks. The 2024-2025 season is what's for dinner. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.